Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Tea and Spirituality. My name is Caroline Faulkner, and I'm your host for the next 10 minutes. I just wanted to give you a little rundown on what's happening energetically through the astrology at this present moment in time. One of the things I wanted to talk about first is all of this hype about Mercury retrograde. If you've got my book, The Signs, then you'll know I talk about this right at the very beginning. Look, Mercury goes retrograde at least 4 times a year. And it doesn't actually go retrograde. It's an optical illusion. It does throw out a different energetic vibration. And we do have to be a bit more mindful when it comes to communications, especially digital communications, but also short journeys. There's sometimes delays, long journeys. There's sometimes delays. So we have to be really mindful. And my astrology teacher used to say Mercury retrograde is like being on an airplane, knowing it's about to take off, but it's delayed. So all you do is take a good book with you because there's nothing you can do about it. You just need to relax and chill. And as far as not signing agreements and that sort of nonsense, I don't subscribe to that. I actually signed my first book deal under a Mercury retrograde because I would have had to have waited weeks otherwise to sign the deal, and I wanted to get it done. So Mercury is in the sign of Gemini, Sagittarius, and it's retrograde until sort of mid-December. Now, this will affect Sagittarians in a way more because obviously it's in their sign, and Mercury retrogrades always impact Geminis because Mercury is the ruler of Gemini. And what does this mean for Sagittarius or anyone with Sagittarian stamps? It means that we're reviewing stuff and going back over things and going over things in our minds as well to get our communication straight. And the most important thing to do when it comes to communication is get the communication straight with oneself. Now, I'm moving on to something that we've all been hearing a lot about recently, is Pluto's shift into the sign of Aquarius. Yes, Pluto was in the sign of Capricorn from 2008 up until the 19th of November. It's a big deal. The last time Pluto was in the sign of Aquarius, we had two revolutions, and Aquarius is certainly the sign of revolution and change, but it can also be extremely fixed. And I don't want us to be that way. You know, Aquarius is very black and white. I can say that because I am one. Aquarius can be very fixed and very black and white, sort of, you know, he's good, she's bad, she's great, he's not. And the truth lies somewhere in between. It's almost like everything is black and white. There are gray areas, and we need to recognize that. The truth is, no one actually knows how this is going to impact us, but it's going to be there until 2043, I think. So it's a long time. It is about revolution. It is about progress. It is about change. And we just have to go with it. The one thing I will say is that criticizing people and infrastructures and systems is not going to help us. We need to raise our vibration, and the only way to raise your one's vibration is to stop with all the negativity. And negativity is basically criticizing. I'm not saying that there aren't crazy things happening in the world with all of these wars, but what I am saying is that we must be positive and optimistic and shift our vibrations. I know it sounds really Pollyanna here, but it's the truth. So for every negative thing you say something positive. It's important. So I think that's all I have to say about Pluto in Aquarius for now. We're not 100% sure how it's going to play out, but it's definitely about revolution and change and revolutionary ways of thinking and doing things, which is quite exciting, I find. Now, the other sea change I wish to discuss is Uranus. Now, Uranus is in the sign of Taurus, and it's not naturally comfortable in this sign because Uranus is the ruler of Aquarius. It's an air sign. It's about it's the great awakener, if you like it, but it's quite shocking and disconcerting. And one thing that anyone with any Taurus stamps or a Taurian does not like is basically to be shocked or moving into the realms of unpredictability. And that's exactly what Uranus does. A fun fact here that's not actually that fun, but I digress. Uranus was in the sign, the last time Uranus was, it moved in 2019, by the way, FYI. But the last time Uranus was in the sign of Taurus was in was basically the late 1930s, which signified signaled the rise in fascism, and it moved in again in 2019. And by the time it moved out, this is back in the sort of the 1930s. By the time it moved out, it moved into the sign of Gemini. We'd won the war, and Gemini is the sign that represents intelligence and communications and so forth. So you could say that it was intelligence that helped us to win the war, and it was on a knife edge, wasn't it? Now, the great news is that Uranus moves into the sign of Gemini. Hold on, let me just double check. You have to bear with me. I'm checking through this ephemeris, and it looks like train timetables for every single month for about 30 years. So just give me one second. Yeah, it's in July, actually. Yeah, it moves in it changes sign in, in July, which is great news. So this signifies the end of some kind of war. That could just be the war with ourselves. But it means that we're going to win some kind of a war, and that could just be the war on ourselves. I'm not going to sort of go into that in any more depth. I'm sure other people will be reading into this, but my take on it is this signifies the end of something and winning something for good, so to speak. Now then, so the good sides are winning. I do hope that this is the case. Now then, again, we have to be very careful not to be all Aquarian about this, which is that they're good, they're bad, they're evil, they're not. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, of course, sometimes it is very black and white, but the Aquarian tendency can be to judge things without having all of the information. And it's really important that we get all of the information before we make judgments and bring that gavel down, which is also a very Sagittarian thing to do. Moving on to Sagittarius and Gemini. Jupiter, the ruler of Sagittarius, is in the sign of Gemini, and that's forming an opposition with all of the stuff in Sagittarius. So anyone who is Sagittarius, who's got stamps in Sagittarius, would have been struggling somewhat, because it's an opposition, and oppositions are never easy. It's when two signs are opposing each other and really clashing. So they're actually having a little bit of a break at the moment, because Jupiter is retrograde. And it's calmed down somewhat. This opposition has calmed down, and it stays retrograde until February 2025, which is great. Now, Jupiter is the planet that represents expansion and growth and optimism. And it's because it's been in opposition to Sagittarius, this has sometimes been hard for us to stoke up the energy of optimism. I'm sure we've had moments of it, but in terms of any sort of consistency, Gemini is a very inconsistent sign. Consistent optimism would have been hard for us to stoke up, but that's changing. It's chilling out a little bit. It's retrograde until February, which is superb. And the last one I want to talk to you about is actually Saturn, and Saturn is in the sign of Pisces, and it stays there until February 2026. The thing, if you have Saturn in Pisces in your chart, it means you're in your Saturn return. A lot of astrologers say that this happens once every 29 years, and it does impact around the age of 29. But I believe that because Saturn is a slow build, I believe that it starts when you're around the age of 27, really, or 27, sorry. Every time I say 27, my friend tells me off, my Sagittarian friend, of course. Anyway, Saturn return basically asked you to take off the rose-tinted glasses and to see things for how they really are, and also to face oneself. And if you have been sort of under the influence of family dogma, so to speak, or their own religions or their own belief systems, then you're stepping out of that and standing on your own two feet for the first time, if this is your first Saturn return. Second Saturn returns are a little bit different. They're helping you also to take off the rose-tinted glasses, but to try and evaluate how far you've come in your life. And it's really important that one doesn't sort of veer towards the negative side of things and beat yourself up and chastise yourself for the things that you have may not have achieved. You still have time, or there's breath in your body. It doesn't matter how old you are. You still have time. Now, So this, there's a sea change. I mean, it's very difficult for people that have had planets in the sign of Pisces, actually. I'm not saying that you haven't achieved great things, because you would have achieved great things. But Saturn in Pisces is a little bit, can be a little bit, wishy-washy. Saturn is the hard taskmaster, and any sort of anything that you win at the end of a Saturn transit is basically like graduating with an honors degree. It's great. But the journey or the process is rather challenging. I know this because my midheaven is in Pisces, and whilst I've had some great wins since Saturn has been in the sign of Pisces, it's also been extremely challenging. This year has been one of the most challenging for me personally. Anyhow, moving on, it changes signs in February 2026. I'm not saying it's going to be difficult for anyone with Pisces sun signs, star signs rather, or any other stamps in Pisces. What I'm saying is that things should start to chill out soon, because the other planets and their power are sort of taking over, especially Pluto in Aquarius. That's the one that's in the spotlight at the moment. But I will say that the real time of freedom for those Pisces and those with Pisces stamps is going to be February 2026. Anyway, I have just made some fresh coffee. I know this is tea and spirituality, but what can I say? I love coffee. I'm going to have a cup now, and I'm going to send you lots of light and lots of blessings and plenty of love. If you've enjoyed this, please like, subscribe, and rate, and I'll be back next month with some of my friends. Thank you so much for listening. Take care.